Hey Pijuju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chummy, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And it's that time of the evening that we discuss business and everything that is related to what we do, how to make money, how to keep money, how to continue making money and use money for the good purpose. And, you know, it's festive season. Everybody is reminding you that it's festive season. We have told you that December is 1 week month, and by the time you are waking up, you are already in January 2026. That is why we are saying by tomorrow Uncle Santa is already preparing to wear his red, I don't know if it's to say red overalls, but you get to say red Christmas costume, to give children gifts, you know, so promises of the new year. But you can hear melodies here and there. You can hear the sound of Christmas songs. You see people are traveling, and wherever you are, when you are traveling, we are wishing you a safe journey. And don't forget that either you are using the road, either you are using a train, either you are using a plane, do not forget others who you are traveling with. Make sure that you take care of each other, not only on your journey to your destination, but also when you come back. And yeah, like any other day, as we engage on the matter of economic concern and also matter of planning, we are also trying to make sure that we contextualize the matter. We don't want to bore you much with the data, but we are giving you context, particularly at this point in time. Yeah, it's a beautiful early evening of Thursday of the 18th of December 2025. Who thought that we would be here? Who thought that we would already be here? Because time is flying. Time is flying. The year is coming to an end. There is no doubt about that. But what is very important is, what do you do with those seconds that you got? What do you do with those minutes that you have? What do you do with those hours? Because, you know, when you look at few days before the end of the year, because next week is already Christmas, and after Christmas we are going to call it a year. Instead, we are going to call it a year, and after that we look at 2026 with optimism to see if things are going to be different. And so it's very important to have hope and look into that. And that is why even the conversation for today, that is going to be linked to planning and the impact of planning and the danger of over planning, will also be cognizant of time. Because we may want, we may say, we may think, but we won't, because we don't do what we say we were going to do. And just today, you know, when I was really disappointed when I was reading some of the international news bulletins, some of the reports, particularly regarding African illegal immigrants in different parts of Europe, and also to look at the context of around 400 people. These are African immigrants who are in Europe, particularly in Spain. They were evicted from, you know, an old abandoned school building in the city of Badalona, that is bordering Barcelona, the northern east side of Barcelona there. And looking at that context, you just see, man, why do you have to leave your parents' house, if you don't know where you are going? Why do you have to leave your country, really, if you don't know where you are going? And who set us these false dreams that it's in Europe that life is? We must remember, if you can't make it here, and maybe you do not also have required qualifications, when you go there, they do really terrible jobs that are not wanted and they are really not recognized. And maybe it's also a time to see, why can't I sort out home before I look at the neighbor? Why can't I deal with my problems at home before I look at the neighbor? Because the issue of migration is also downgrading us, because I call that voluntary slavery. It's really voluntary slavery because we are being sold dreams. You know, the marketing strategy that is being used, the same marketing strategy, or it's the same strategy that have been used, particularly bad PR of Africa, because those who studied abroad, they'll be able to tell you that when you say you are from Africa, people are imagining movies that they watch. They say you live with baboons, you live with crocodiles, and you live with cheetah, and you do not have cities. But when they come here, they are so shocked. It's the same thing when you reverse the thinking and perspective when they say the Western is a first world, first world country. Yes, they are first world countries, but they also have issues of, homelessness. They also have issues of poverty. There's no way without poverty. There's no way without unemployment. There's no way without economic crisis. It depends. But you being an African in other people's country, especially if you don't have a document, especially if you sneak in, and imagine 400 people in Spain fighting for an abandoned school building. Maybe it's not fit for purpose. It's just really something which is not right, and something which led us to rethink, especially with the African leadership, to say, what can we really do to take care of our own? Because there is this thinking to say, when I'm running to UK, when I'm running to USA, the millionaire, the business guy in USA cannot wait to catch the next flight to come to Namibia, to invest, to grab wealth here. Well, I'm running away from this. Maybe it's time for us to relook and look at that context. Yeah, apart from the ongoing SADC, or the recently completed SADC, extraordinary summit. It's quite interesting also to see that when it comes to SADC. When it comes to SADC, you'll be able to realize that SADC is also trying to put her house in order after some crisis which have happened. And realize to say, the issue that was discussed is an issue that we've been also asking to say, who is the head of SADC, but the colonel who is leading a transition government in Madagascar, who replaced the chairperson of SADC, who ran away after the protest of Generation Z, has also attended a virtual summit. And let us hope we are not going to be like other regions. Let us hope we may be able to stand on our own. And let's hope this respected and head of state who are charged with the responsibility to lead us will be able to solve that issue. And I was reading also on social media to say the issue of Zambezi also need to be solved diplomatically, and people must sit down and speak, especially those who are the eyes and ears of government, especially the governor, must also sit down with these people, and they must speak, because sometimes the person just want to be heard. The person does not really want what you think. He wants, just want to be heard. But let's hope by 2026 we are focusing on a real project. We are focusing on the real project rather than, pushing and pulling each other, rather than unending protest, rather than, unending criminal trials, rather than losing of money. Let us also see that when it's come to 2026, we are not going to be how we have been. And we are growing. We are growing the years that we have now. When you ask us next year, we have to pause before we tell you how old we are. You and me, the thinking and the perspective may change by next year due to aging, but the direction is always one to say, nobody is happy with how things are, but everybody is optimistic, and the people really want to be players in economic development. Now, before we go to the conversation for today, it's quite very important also to look at the news, particularly coming from particularly coming from African Development African Union, stated that the African Development Fund has secured a record of $11 billion from 43 partners for its 17th replenishment. And it's a 23% increase over the previous cycle, demonstrating a global and significant, a global signal and also confidence in Africa internal investment, and also is in line with Africa to be self-sustaining, Africa to be self-sustaining when it comes to budgeting, when it comes also to funds developmental project. But that show commitment, that show commitment, particularly when you look at how African, you know, head of states are leading their countries toward that continental financial sustainability. Because if we believe that somebody will come and assist us from outside, it will not work if we are not standing on our own. You know, when you are a student of history, you will be able to realize that history taught us that most of the challenges that we are facing now can only be solved from Africa. It's only a matter of leadership, it's a matter of governance, it's a matter of understanding one direction, and it's also a matter of, you know, understanding the operation of institution of governance, and it's also a matter of uprooting corruption and uprooting things which are downgrading our system, because we fear if the system here is rotten, it will not work, it will be the war of all against all, and it will be chaotic. And look at South Africa, look at our neighbor South Africa, with its advancement in industrialization, there are still questions among its governance system, there are still questions among, you know, its criminal justice system, and people are dodging bullets there, especially if you are a state witness, and you know, people are dodging bullets, and prominent officials, particularly those without protection, they end up also dying due to the rotten system, and also a system that need to be revamped, rebooted, and also advanced. Now, what do we have on the table today? What is our discussion for today? Today we are going to look at planning. We are going to look at over planning and the delay of progress. Over planning and delay of progress. And I know, especially when we are in this holiday, you may agree with me. There was a point you and your friends were, you know, arranging a certain trip that never materialized. It did not materialize really because you guys do not have resources. It did not materialize because you have spent more time on perfecting all the details, nitty-gritties, all the details, until to the point that you paralyze the process. That is why today, at Business and Economic segment, we are going to ask questions to say, what have we done in terms of over planning? What is that we did not do right in terms of planning and also implementation? And what can we do differently? How many commission have we started with? How many committees have we appointed? And how many responsibility have we given? How many board of directors have we appointed? And how many of those can really stand out to say these were some of the best board of directors who directed the certain institutions? These were some of the best think tanks that we have, which can be able to be imitated by other people and also give lesson to others. Yeah, now, when somebody speak about planning, we are not only going to speak about planning in terms of organization. We are not only going to speak about planning in terms of, you know, public sector level. We are speaking about planning also from a personal level to say, how many times you thought about studying a certain course, but you did not pull the trigger. You did not act. What were some of the delay in your planning. When I take your diary now, when I take the books that you wrote about all your plans, when I take, you know, your personal planning, you know, document, you'll be able to realize that there's a lot of objectives, mission and vision that we put in place, but we really end up not moving. And you're asking yourself a question to say, what could be some of the challenges that limiting us from acting on our actions, or from acting on our plans, for putting actions rather on our plans? And how did this translate to stagnation in terms of institutional progress? How many consultant can raise their hand and say, me as a consultant, I was hired to develop this institutional plan, organizational plan, or either action plan, and I'm very happy to indicate that that of which I have drafted, that of which I have assisted, has achieved 80% of what has been planned. How many of them? Closer to none. You know why? Because there has always been whispers in the corridors of governance and in the corridors of private sector to say, Namibia, we are very good at policy planning. We are very good at making policies. But we delay the actions. Could it be that we spend more time in over-analyzing? Could it be that we don't have that of who should act? Could it be that we love, we are comfortable in our boardrooms, in our offices, in our lecture halls, in our conference centers, and we are less in the field? I want you to make this comparison. You agree with me. I want to take you 3 years back. Then you trace events, particularly developmental events. 3 years developmental events. You can use a media lens. You can also use your own judgment.
Get extra big savings for an extra special Christmas at WB. Like 2 liter Oros, now only $37.99. 750 gram Crossan Blackwell Mayo for $37.99. 10 kg Buck Pro Fat Cook Flour for $139.99. And 2 kg Surf Hand Wash Powder for only $48.99. See all our December specials online at woermanbrock.com. We care.
Media lens. You can also use your own judgment. You can also use your own records of development to say, apart from speeches about what need to be done, apart from private sectors speaking about what need to be done, apart from cooperation and agreement, apart from discussions about problems, unemployment, apart from condemning gender-based violence, apart from condemning corruptions, how many of practical actions that we can take out? I'm not saying there's nothing which have been done, but how many of practical actions that have been taken in order to make sure that we don't only stay in the boardroom and plan, but we are putting actions, we are putting words into actions? Because if we are like that, we wouldn't be surprised. What is that we need to change in 2026? What is that we need to change in 2026? And the other day I was speaking about our minister, our deputy minister of sport, youth, innovation, art and culture, and all those long beautiful words that the Baroti who said, no, look, this year 2026, our boys are returning at home, they are going to play at home. In my view, I think he had a plan, or he has a plan, a very good plan in mind. He maybe surround himself with a very good team. But is he surrounding himself also with implementers? That is the question. He may have a very good heart. He may have a patient and experience in a certain sector. But Are we still over planning? I was looking at, I took time to go to Havana and check at, you know, this, Havana. Yeah, I took time to look at, Havana Hospital, which is a plant, and, there are some materials there. And I was also comparing with, what had been stated in the midterm budget review to say there is 40% of progress. Then I was trying to read between the lines. Is my English, which is not correct? Or this is how 40% looking like? Or I have misinterpreted the presentation of the midterm budget review about project progress. And when you look at there is little to no change or how it has been. And you are maybe asking yourself to say, maybe progress is still in the boardroom. Maybe we are going to one day when we wake up that hospital is built and people at that area are getting quality medical care, particularly when you look at the situation that you are going through, when you look at the challenges that you are going through, when you look at the levels of crimes that are happening there, be able to understand that the hospital, the finishing of that hospital would be a matter of agency. Because remember, for example, when a government decided to establish a hospital, that is agency. There is nothing good about, you know, no one would be very happy about pointing out the sickness within a certain area. When you have found a challenge to say, I'm going to establish a hospital here or a clinic, then it takes you 6 years. Then we really need to do better. We are not doing what needs to be done, because establishing a hospital is establishing a prison, is building a school. That is agency. Because when you identify that problem, it means that people need that assistance with a matter of agency. But just ask yourself this question. When is that hospital going to be completely finished? Maybe the time is finished. I'm married with 20 kids and live happily as a grandpa. Just for argument's sake. Is it over-planning or what is the problem? Is it over-planning? Is that we don't have contractors? Or what is going on? And I also want to touch a little bit on particularly the professionals. The argument that Helmut is always putting out, and I like it very much to say, academicians, when they graduate from Namibian institutions, they realize that there is no industries in Namibia. Then they move to other countries where there are industries where they can work. Little did we know that we did the reverse. We were supposed to build industry. Then we find people that run that industry, those industries. That is why today we always need to speak about this thing to say, what is really that keep us for a very long time in boardrooms? And, without overlooking at other institutions, I don't agree with everything I have some reservation actually about some of the things that NAMRA is doing. But everybody can see it's a practical institution. It has target, it has results, it tells you what it wants to do, it shows you what it wants to do. And somebody's hope, what if that can be turned into other institutions to say, this is what we are going to do, this is our target, this is what we are going to achieve. No, nobody would disagree with that to say they have their target, they are hitting their targets every day. I know they are fighting with us in the street with vendors, but that is an institution which has a clear plan, and to me, I think we need more institutions that can do that. We need more institutions that can do that. And it's not an easy job. It's not an easy job. If you have effective institutions that can do that, and really, people must be given their flowers when they are doing something right, when they are there. What is the problem with over-planning? It can also look at an individual point of view. Do we need more training on taking actions and taking risk? Do we need more action on taking action and taking risk? And Namibians, we love conferences. And I do not have anything against the proposal to have a convention center to host the international conferences. But what I can tell you is that maybe because we did not see industrialization, maybe because we did not yet experience industrialization, we love conferences. I've seen it because I attend those conferences. And you see how happy Namibians are in discussing about problems. How happy we are in discussing about the challenges. How happy we are in theorizing. But maybe somebody just has to say, for how long are you going to do this thing? And it's also becoming boring because I have a privilege of attending various events from different sectors, cutting across various sectors, energy, finance, banking institutions, and all these things. Then you realize to say, man, what is the impact of over-planning? Why do we keep on strategies, action plan, while we already have policy planning, policy coherence, analysis, review, and report findings? And you find also this data, they start contradicting each other because the time you plan and new data are coming in, you end up not taking any actions. One of the example that you need to look at is cyber crime, for example. It has been there. It is still there. We spoke about it. We are challenging it. Experts come and discuss. Problems continues. Nothing have changed. What actions have been taken? Do we have a data center yet? Who is managing our data? Nothing. Maybe it's now the high time to look at what other countries have done. Japan, look at Mauritius. Mauritius is one of the good examples also of the country which is moving toward its industrialization. And what did they do better compared to us? Because what is very interesting is that psychology has proven that there is nobody who is more intelligent based on color. There is nobody who is more intelligent based on color. Every person's intelligence is almost the same as any other person. Genius everywhere. But the only difference that we have is challenges or the love for planning. We love being in the boardroom. Without being in the boardroom, I don't want to criticize about the curriculum which was changed. Maybe now it does have settled. We got to understand the new reality. But that is what happened when you keep too much time in the boardroom, when you keep too much time in a discussion rather than practical actions. Where are the project men and women of Namibia to lead these industries? Because we made the bold statement, but bold statement can also end up against us when somebody come and confront you with the words that you have spoken about. Because remember, there is something that is called a sandbank strategy. Sandbank strategy is a short term strategy of dealing with a problem. And it was derived from that time when people who are in flood-torn or areas where they are most likely to be affected by flood, they cover their surroundings with sandbags or bags of sand. And when the flood comes, it only protects the house that you're surrounded with. But a sandbag strategy is a short-term, but can be also problematic looking into the future. What will happen after you have spoken about doing something that we did not do? We are speaking about these things not really because we are angry about anything, but we are speaking about this thing to say, when are we going to get time and practice when are you going to get time and finish Havana Hospital? And the problem with us, as it has been stated, Namibians, we don't read. We just shout and clap when speeches are being given. Let us also assist our leaders with data, because leaders, they're supposed to be operating from that strategic level. Why do as an employee, as a manager, I have to deal with planning? I was supposed to implement what it has been already communicated from the top. But you also find supervisor busy these project managers busy over analyzing and also planning on their behalf. Why there is a delay? Why do we have a delay in those things? Why do we have a delays in procurement of pharmaceutical drugs? Why do we have a delay in those aspects? See something, look at it, act on it. Now we have a very beautiful task team, which was a result of public-private sector forum. It's a very beautiful task team, but it would really be good if that task team become effective, because they are report directly to the president. And one of the things is the direction of public-private sector forum is Namibian agreed and understood that we have a certain problem of poverty, inequality, unmanaged resources, and this problem cannot be solved without working together of everybody. That one we understood. That's why there is a task team of expert and technical experts that appointed by the president. Let us hope 2026 will be a year that we are going to implement. Because how I look at things is that our president like practical things. How I look at things is that she like practical things. But are we advising our president correctly to practically implement, or are we busy saying, no, there is this policy which need to be done? Because remember, there was already a time when Prime Minister communicated when he came to power to say, if there is any law which is limiting us to do our work, submit it, give your submission. If there is any law which is limiting us to do our work, to implement on 500,000 jobs, please submit those laws so that we can cruise nicely. And I want you to ask yourself this question as responsible citizens, as industrial player, to say, how is 2026 looking to you? Would it be a year of building industry? Would it be a year of reporting? Or is it still going to be a year of collecting data? Or is it still going to be a year of conferences? Or is it still going to be a year of discussions? It's a question that you need to ask yourself. As unemployed young Namibian, as a final year student, as going to be a first year student, how is 2026 looking like to you? And you also need to internalize the discussion to say, I also that person who always think, no, I'm going to study, I'm going to do this project, but I don't wake up. You just want to do it, but you don't do it because you are scared of failure. I also that person. Because if you're in the same shoes, it's not the time to blame yourself. It's also a time now to stand up and say, but I think next year, which is 1 week from now, which you never thought it would be 1 week from now, I will be practical. I will be practical, because if you are 30 years now, and you take a course that you want to study. You want to study AI, for example. You want to study data science. You want to study oil engineering. You want to study mineral law. If that course is 2 years and 3 years, my brother, my sister, that time you are going to be 33 years old already, whether you want it or not. But it's going to be interesting if you are 33 years, and in those 3 years, at least you achieve something. That's why We should really come to the point of saying enough is enough of over planning perfectionism can also paralyze us, then let us not do the job. And it's also quite very interesting also not to to be discouraged. Especially I've seen, and I'm always impressed, especially when you see very beautiful plants with not only young people, but also adults. Very beautiful plants, projects that they really have. But a person will just tell you to say, even if I go to the bank, they will not fund me. Even if I go, they will not fund me. But why are we not able to start those projects? Maybe they are going to be a game changers. Because by the look of things, if you look correctly, by the look of things, most of the projects that are going to turn Namibia into a greater industrialized country are not yet brought to the attention of those who are able to fund them. Most of those projects, they are with people, but because of the environment, they also are not able to give them out, or they also continue to overplan, thinking that they are not good enough because they were not allowed to present their imperfectionism. Are we given an opportunity to grow? Because we must be given an opportunity to grow so that we can turn this country around into a right direction. Because if I'm given an opportunity to speak and make all my mistakes, tomorrow I'm going to learn. But if I'm just there over planning, if I'm just there scared of moving in, things will not work out. Now, apart from we spoke on Havana Hospital. Let us look at our stadium. How many of the stadiums are upgraded, and how long does it take to upgrade the stadium? Because the politics of Africa is that you have two committees. You have an oversight committee. You have an approval from the ED. You have an approval. You have a discussion from here. You have a discussion from the contractor. By the time something is done, the person are moving out of the office already. You have this meeting here. You have emergency meeting. Then by the time you start with construction, there is a court case. Then things must stand down. But our beautiful trading partner, China, they build a hospital in 10 days. State of the art. It's not even a hospital that we can compare to Central Hospital or any other hospital, state of the art. 10 days during COVID-19, state of the art hospital, standing with a capacity of thousands of beds and facility is standing and is assisting the people at that med. But in Namibia, we even forget that, go and ask people in Hakahana, Havana, that side, to say what is being built there. Some of them, they will not even maybe able to remember what is going on there. You will not be able to remember, because those are how projects are in our country. Maybe it's now the time that the 8th administration will save us from this overplanning. We have a lot on our plate. And looking at the laws and policies, looking at the state of the governance system, I just hope our Minister of Justice will have more strength to navigate through those critical policies. And I understand his table is very full, because everything is on policy, everything is on the law. You speak about PEGA, you speak about information bill, you speak about the act which is governing local authority. You speak about the things which are inhibiting business to operate effectively. And we just hope in terms of that, maybe we'll be able to move smoothly. Why do we need to have three administrations for us to have one hospital which is about to save people? What is that overplanning can do? Overplanning can be able to bring people into a mode of acceptance, to say that is how we do things. Because if you are at the point of speaking about industrialization, and we are discussing about a plan which was being presented, and I don't celebrate strategies anymore, because I have seen a lot of them. I used to struggle to get corporate institutional strategies when I was at university, just to read through. But now I have access to them. I have seen what a strategy is, what I did not see, or few of what I have seen is the report on the implementation of the strategy. To what extent? The strategy of City of Windhoek that is ending in 2027, which is a city striving toward a smart city, We still have to see how it's going to be in 2027. Yeah, we are seeing sign. And somebody must also see progress. We are seeing sign. We are seeing, you know, crimes being prevented by high level of technology, cameras here and there. Although there are also those unsuccessful ones. We are seeing a city developing every time and every time, every day. But we're also seeing the large face of the city that is failing to develop, the large face of the city that is failing to be addressed. Let us speak about housing. The issue of housing has been a very critical issue in the Namibian developmental discourse. Housing has been a very difficult issue. Even when it comes to the point when NHG built 50 houses and donated 50 houses, it will sound like a drop in the sea, because issues of housing, affordable housing for that matter, become very critical. Become very, very critical. Are we still over planning about housing, or we are practical about doing it? When are we going to address that issue of housing? Because remember, there's still a task force on that. Maybe they'll come up with a study, they'll come up with the results. And one will also be able to ask to say, why can't, because a task force is a short-term assignment given to experts to study and complete a certain project. Or soldiers sent into a mission to complete a short-term project. That's always like PKTT. It's a task force. You are given a task to do it and come and report and sort out that issue. Now you have a task force. It's reporting directly to the president. You have a National Planning Commission sitting in cabinet. Which is has been there. But then you have, then you also have, apart from National Planning Commission, you also have academicians who can also directly advise. And you have fragmentation also of institute, and you have ministers who is a main advisor in terms of governance. But remember, when you have around 20 experts within within one room, especially speak about health, speak about housing, the debate will not end. Believe me, you, even forming a plan, the debate will not end. I have a few friends of mine in academia, and when you are in a discussion, and I always praise, and I always give praise, particularly to the leaders of universities and colleges. Because these are guys who are going through, who manage intelligentsia. Because if you have a think tank, if you have a task force, and you have a lot of experts, unless you really have practical people, we must be able also to monitor that, unless you really have practical people. But remember, if you have a task force on health recovery, task force on health recovery, and you have expert public health practitioner, nurses, policy analysts in nursing, doctors, medical doctors, and remember, these people are coming from various fields within the same field. I mean, various sector within the same field, and they study at different universities and have different experience on life. And we'll see how things are going to be. Maybe it's going to work. But I also have a bit of a challenge because, remember, we reduce cabinet to save resources and also for effectiveness, because when you have a very small team, it's easy for you to make decision, because a small team can be able to lead a country very fast. But out of this expert, let us hope they will be able to complete that work on time, and they have us Namibians in their mind. If they really have that, there's no doubt about that. And let us hope they are also given enough freedom to give practical advice. Because those who have been around power, the studies of politics have always indicated to you that a good advisor must not only understand the truth, but also understand the tone of the language that this person is communicating to the principal. Because one of the things which I have never seen among presidents, which I have seen from our president, Mwene Tumba, is that she understood human psychology very well, because she surprised not only me, but a lot of people in public private sector forum when she said, no, do not make me happy. When a head of state say, don't make me happy, she has seen what people are and what they do when they are around people of significant power and influence. Do not make me happy. Don't tell me things that are making me happy. Offend me. And let's see the study. Let us see the... Because it's not reporting to us, let's hope that study which is being done by the task force will be directly on the truth, not on making the president happy. Because she said, I want to make... I want to be offended as long as I'm doing what is good for the Namibian people. And that, to me, that is leadership. But we really have bold Namibians who are saying, for the economy of Namibia to recover, for example, bold statement from the task force, let's hope for the economy of Namibia to recover, we must invest in energy. We must not, we have been, let me say, we have been paying these billions of dollars to buy oil from somewhere. We must invest long-term wise in our, for example, which is a matter of agency and a matter of agency. Can we have something like that? Can we also have a bold statement to say, from economic recovery, to say, no, it's just for argument's sake. I'm not saying it's what they are going to say. To say, no, the strategy of the strategy of 70% household electrification will not work out because of affordability. Let us deal with investment in energy. Let us deal with investment in energy first. Then maybe we reduce that strategy to 60%. Nobody is going to be killed. Or to say, no, let us invest in our own intelligentsia for us to have address the issue of housing, because most of the studies that we are using, most of the analysis that we are using, we had wrong, completely wrong advice. Most of the study that we are using, most of the design architecture that we are using are not Namibian architectural design. Let's hope things will work out, because you cannot move with over-planning. You cannot move with over-analyzing. A perfectionist will freeze in the time of action. And that's why today we are looking at that principle. We are looking at that aspect to say, what keep us timid, what keep us in action, and what can we do differently. And also just to debate, looking at 2026, to say, let 2026 be a year of practical. And I know there used to be a name of every year to say, no, listen, it's a year of recovery, it's a year of restoration, it's a year of redemption, it's a year of all those things. But if we have a good wish for 2026, everybody wishes to be a year of practicality. Because when the dust of election have settled, let us now come together and discuss issues. Because this continuation of politicking will really make young people not feel so comfortable. They end up losing value in the institutions, which were created so much with strength to develop Namibia. And also let us hope those who are charged with the responsibility are honest enough. Because pressing somebody who have been around power for a long time will also be able to see that you are just lying to her, want to make her happy. Why should you praise? A president does not need your praise. Because remember, it's like, which example should I give? I always giving an example to say, if you are around somebody of importance, this person has been in the corridors of power for a very long time. She has seen praises. She has seen good gifts, beautiful speeches that are glorifying the moment, that are also praising her. Got international recognition awards. Got honorary doctorates and all this, even the presidency itself. But why should we focus on praising instead of really... Why are you focusing on praising or pleasing a person instead of really honestly, objectively, and respectfully too communicate that findings? Because a leader give you responsibility. Don't sound nice. Be professional. And let's hope it's going to be what it is, and we'll see 2026, how it's going to be. So, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic segment. And we are always indicating to you that that plan that you have, 2026, be practical. Let us be practical. Let us also stop over planning, because over planning will lead to nothing, will lead to inaction, and will lead to unattained goals, and we end up regretting. Regrettable regrets that should have been avoided. So, from David Shombe, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mtuma team. Bye bye for now. See you around.